Amen. Well, I guess I better get these little bit of cheaters because I'm still relying on them for, but I can still read this stuff. That's what's amazing to me. I can still read all my notes, but I want that clarity exactly on. So I got to use my one, they're blended a little 125s in here. Amen. You can open up with Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David made that so we could say that, and we say that and make it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If He's your shepherd, you aren't going to have a lack for anything in your life. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. They are places where we find contentment for the mind, no matter what the situation is. So don't just pass through those pastures. No. Abide in them. That's what He wants you to do. So many of us run through them. Take the time. He's got that green pasture for you. Abide therein. He leads me beside the still waters. That means they're not stagnant, but they are a gentle, flowing stream of water. Just a nice flow. And for those that are fishermen, that are stream fishermen, you go out there, you're fly fishing, you just sit there and that water flowing down is so soothing. Sometimes you forget what you're doing and you sit back on the shore and you just relax. But that's what those type of waters do, that He puts and gives to you. He restores my soul. The soul here is referring to our life and our spirit, the real you. He restores it, means He revives it, refreshes it, He recreates it when it is exhausted and weary. I like that though. Recreates. But we are new creations in Christ, are we not? That's what the Word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Paths of righteousness are straight and lead to Him. And He leads us by not letting us wander off in ways that would lead us to ruin. For the steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When walking through a dark and distressing time in our lives, brought through a sickness, trial, or hardship, the Lord leads us through them. Even death has no power over the believer. We then should fear no evil. David said, "I fear no evil." You can say that. Say, "I fear no evil." You say that with confidence. That's what you got to say. Confidently. "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And his rod is used to provide for us protection. And his staff is used to provide support and guidance. Man, when you got those two working on your side, woo! You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He wines and dines you right in front of them. Can you imagine what they're thinking? He's letting you know you're special. He's prepared the table for you. Pull up a seat and partake in the table. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. See, when you're invited to someone's house as an honored guest, they would anoint your head with oil. So he's anointing your heads with oil because you're an honored guest. And it goes beyond that. You're adopted in. And God doesn't just fill the cup, though. It says, overruns it. He fills it to its overflowing capacity. And he does it with his abundance and because of his giving nature. And he pours out those blessings that we can't even contain all of them. That's just who he is. Really, that's just who he is. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness here in the Hebrew means favor. And mercy means his loving kindness. Surely, his favor and love shall follow me all the days of my life. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. See, and David is confident that he will have the favor of God and his love. He has faith that God, whom he leans on, trusts in, and relies on, and is confident in, will continue to guide him into the future. That is why he was able to say very confidently, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means eternity. Eternity with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful. Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. God is faithful and unchanging. He doesn't change his mind. He said it, he'll do it. Believe it. Surely favor and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Not for just some, but for our entire life journey. So in other words, that means every day. Every day. Favor. Every day. And his love. Every day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, his loving kindness, we are not consumed because his compassions, sympathetic pity, and concern for the concerns or misfortunes of others fell not. Concerns. And he will perfect that which concerns you because you concern him. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. With so many uncertainties today, many fear the future because they have no real security. Events will change. People change. And the world changes. You can just look around in your personal life. How many things have changed? And just turn on the news. It's on 24/7. The world is changing constantly. Security. Even banks collapse. Even insurances can't cover us. When you look at when we look at our future, we are often not full of faith and hope, are we? No. Because everything seems to get our focus off of God. It's all designed that way. That's what the world is out there doing. Getting your focus off of what you need to be focusing on. And it's God. Focus on Him. He will supply all of your needs. But as believers, see, we can face the future. And we do that with faith in God. We need to simply press the easy button and what? Simply believe in Him is able to do what you've asked, right?
That was easy.
That's what it takes. Jeremiah 29:11. Talk about the future. Jeremiah 29:11. The NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. A future. This is the reason why David was able to say, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. His hope was in the Lord. And it was based on his knowledge of his God, the Good Shepherd. Because David knew a thing or two about being a shepherd, did he not? That's how he started his career. A humble shepherd, doing what his father told him and asked him to do. And we have a good shepherd who the Father appointed to watch over the flock. God is our security. Now, let me restate that. God is our only true security. Not man. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. This is the Living Bible. The Lord says, who said? Cursed is the man who puts his trust in mortal man and turns his heart away from God. He is like a stunted shrub in the desert with no hope for the future. He lives on the salted, encrusted plains in the barren wilderness. Good times pass him by. Don't let the good times pass you by. Hook up with Jesus. Trust Him. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in men. Who are you going to trust? The Lord. And you're trusting Him with all of your heart. Hebrews 6, verses 18 through 20. Hi, Rich. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up His permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. And Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek before God said that's what we must do. So is tithing passed away? Uh-uh, folks. You got to do your homework. Because it will open the windows of heaven for you. And when you give offerings, the garage door gets opened up, the big French doors get opened up, and it comes pouring out, folks. I'm just telling you. Thank you, Jesus. F.B. Meyer, old-time Baptist minister, going way back, friends with D.L. Moody. You heard that name too, right? Well, he wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn, one of the highest peaks in the Alps. They hired three guides and began their ascent at the steepest and most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order: guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. 5. Mercy. They had gone on a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four because each had a toehold in the niches they had cut into the ice. But then the next man slipped, and he pulled down the two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guide, who had driven a spike into the cracks of the rock, which is solid. Because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. He applied it this way for himself. He said, I am one of those men who slipped, but thank God I am bound in a living partnership to Christ, the solid rock. And because he stands, I stand forever. And you will never perish. With Christ in our hearts, we need not fear or worry about what the future holds. See, our relationship with Jesus is our lifeline. And if we should slip, fine, if we should slip, we will not be lost. He is our lifeline. We have a secure future. Yes, we do. We have a hope and a future because of him. And a future that we look forward to is eternity with him. When you follow him up the climb of your mountain, tied to him, don't look down, and you don't have to look back at all. Just keep on climbing, because you're guaranteed to make it over the top. And once over the top, you will realize that was easy. With your faith in him and him leading and in control, that's when you'll be able to say, that was easy. Because you had the confidence and placed your total trust in him as the safety line to be able to overcome the mountains. I thought this one was pretty neat, and I said, okay, Holy Ghost, we'll add it. This is a quote from F.B. Myers. The love of God towards you is like the Amazon River flowing down to water a single daisy. What's love got to do with it? And the water that you're going down to is living water, folks. He refreshes you with living water. As believers, we can share David's confidence, and we can face the future with faith because he holds the future. If Almighty God cares for us, we need not have fear. I will fear no evil. We can boldly say that. What's Jesus often say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jerry, that's your cue. Simply believe. Sandy, has she ever told you about simply believe? Okay, that's good. Praise God. I know she has. She doesn't hold anything in for God. Trust God. No matter where you are in life, lying down in green pastures beside quiet waters, walking through the valley of the shadow of death in the presence of my enemies, God is with you to guide you each and every step of the way. He's there with you in the surgery room when you're in there for surgery the whole time. He doesn't walk out and take a break. He's the one working through those doctor's hands, through every one of those technicians, through the anesthesiologist, all of them. Can he do that? Yeah, because he's God. He is God. In Psalm 145, verse 20, Psalm 145, verse 20 of the Voice translation, all of you who love God, He will watch out for you. NIV, maybe a little clearer here. The Lord watches over all who love Him. Do you love the Lord? Then He's watching over you. You don't have to doubt that at all. What's love got to do with it? Everything. It's like a father caring for his children, right? Like a shepherd caring for his sheep. It's like a hen covering her peeps with her wings. Remember the story about the farmer who had a fire in his barn and it destroyed just practically everything? Animals were inside, and he out there was surveying the damage and happened to look down, and there was one of the hens with its wings spread out laying there. And it had perished in the fire. All of a sudden, out from underneath those wings came all these little peeps who had survived the fire and lived. Selah. In Psalm 91, verse 4, says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Refuge, a place that provides protection from danger or distress. He provides for our security and our safety. Better than OSHA. We do not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And frankly, what the future holds is not important. But who holds the future is critical. We know that whatever happens, God's will is fulfilled. And His will is good. Now, in this psalm, though, David is not saying that we will not have any difficulties to face. There will be plenty of difficulties, disappointments in life. You know, at one time, he was running for his life. And he ran for a long time. Kind of reminded me of the series, The Fugitive. Okay, some of you in here said, Fugitive, what's that? Well, ask your parents. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of you might want to even ask your grandparents, because some of your parents maybe ain't that old. But he ran for his whole life. But he was finally vindicated. David experienced the agony of losing his son. He committed adultery and sinned against God. But he was always quick to repent. He was at wars often with neighboring enemies. It wasn't a smooth life for him. He was not saying that only good things will happen to the believers. He says that God will care for our needs, though. We can still see God's goodness and mercy. Yes, all the days of our life. His goodwill will be fulfilled, folks. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." What's love got to do with it? Everything. Whether it be good or bad. Who have been called according to His purpose, His plan. He has a plan for each and every one of us. We have to believe this. Even in the tough times, we don't blame God. Stop for a minute. Look at where it's coming from. He does a good job of disguising it, though, doesn't he? Remember, God is in control. Therefore, His plan will surely be fulfilled. Because He's in control. So don't get yourself all out of control. Quit trying to drive. Be the passenger. Let Him do the driving. See, this is a promise to those who love the Lord and have made Him the Lord of their lives. This is not a promise, though, for everyone. The wicked and evildoers, they're going to have to face judgment. We got to educate them. That's what our job is. Educate them. But sometimes that can be very stressful because they can be very resistant sometimes. Amen? But we know that if we just share the love of God with them, that'll melt those walls, literally. As believers, we are God's children. He cares for us. We is kids of the King. He says, "I'm a King's kid." Come on, a little more confident there. You know what that means? You royalty. You royalty. You see how they treat royalty, don't you? Those evildoers around you? Think about it. That's why He provides for you. He sets a table before you, before your enemies. He's going to wine and dine you. They're going to get very jealous. And that's when it's good you can be given the opportunity to witness to them. God is so good. Okay, so not that all things are good, all right? But when they are put together, they accomplish good. And only all-knowing is our God, and He can do that. We may not be able to understand everything, but God does. And the secret things belong unto Him. He is omniscient. Let me get that. Omniscient. Okay? Spelled O-M-N-I-S-C-I-E-N-T. Limitless in knowledge. He knows everything. Everything. He knows everything. He's our Creator. He's our Creator. Can you just for a moment think He is the Creator? What He could do with a little bit of dust, that's you and I. He created the human body out of dust, not out of solid dirt, but dust. I know, good confession, Pastor. Oh, it just blows my mind. Right? But it does, to think about that. He knows everything. If He knew how to create you, He knows what to do for you, how to take care of you, and how to get you through these troubled times that you may find yourself in. Because we're in this world. And Satan's going to do everything he can to take you out of it. Yeah, he's out there, folks. He's real. But we have the victory over him. He has no power over us. Only the power he has is the power that we give him. Don't give him no power. Don't open the door. That's it, brother. Run, devil, run. David Crowderbrand. You had to been there. You have to watch Nicky run when he goes to them concerts. I mean, kid again. Therefore, goodness and mercy will follow us. See, that's faith speaking. When you say that, that's faith speaking. God will surely fulfill his good will in each and every one of our lives. But there's that little word. If you trust in him. If you trust in him. If you look at Paul, he was falsely accused and imprisoned in Rome. Was that good? No. Nope. Hey, you guys can always respond. You're not going to distract the Holy Spirit. You know, and he wants you to know that. But while he was there, he found the time to write some books, didn't he? And those books we call the New Testament epistles. He made the most of his time. And he was able to preach to those who were imprisoned with him. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 there. He was taken as a prisoner on board a ship headed to Rome. This ship had encountered a horrendous storm. Days on end, it did not quit. And everyone on board thought for sure they were going down. They were going to die. They actually threw everything off of that ship, trying to get it more buoyant, to get it up higher. I don't understand that principle, but that's what happens when you get rid of all the cargo and you get rid of all your supplies. They even threw all their food over so the boat would rise up higher in the water. You ever see the barges on the river when they're loaded with coal? They only look like they're about that far off the water. They're going on, you see all that coal mine. Do you empty that coal out of them? You got to see how far that barge comes up out of the river. So they were trying to lighten the load. That wasn't what they needed to do in the first place. They needed to listen to Paul in the first place, right? So we'll look at verse 21. No one had eaten for a long time, but finally Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Fair Havens. You would have avoided all of this injury and this loss." "But cheer up," he said. Paul was always about rejoicing no matter what the situation he was in, right? Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, right? That was our Paul. "Not one of us will lose our lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Don't be afraid.'" "Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God has granted your request." Paul had been praying. And if I know Paul, he was raising a hallelujah in the middle of this door, folks. That's Paul. In the middle of the storm, he'll raise a hallelujah. What's more, God has granted your request, the angel said, and will save the lives of all those sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said. Paul believed God, period. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. The boat's going down, folks. But we aren't going down with it. That's what he's trying to tell them. He heard from God. God sent them a messenger down and said, don't be afraid, Paul. I even heard you, and we're going to save everybody on board with you. And he simply believed God. That's all it takes, simply believing. He said it. He's going to make it happen. Everybody on that boat made it to shore. Then they built fire to get warm, and Paul gets bit by a snake and says, ah. I had no authority over him. He took authority over it. He rebuked it, shook it off, went on about his business. Man, have faith like that. I'm trying to get there. Ain't alone, folks. I'm trying to get there. And I ain't going to quit working that way. If you've been given an ark to build, you keep building it. Right, sis? And don't grow weary in building it. Maybe nobody else believes you that you're going to make it through. But you yourself, you believe in God, and he will get you through it. Because, see, those around you, they're going to be moved by what they see. You can't be. Not when you're the builder. And it takes a great first mate to be there supporting you. Right, Captain, first mate? You got to know the Gilligan's Island thing. So, okay. You got to understand that sometime. Well, you've shared that with him, right? Okay. All right. We do not often understand God's will. Only when we look back afterwards do we see his goodness. God says, I will watch over you. How does God watch over you? Watch over the believers? Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Dean's favorite, Amplified Classic Edition. Yeah, Jack, Amplified Classic Edition again. Okay, good. I got the finger from Jackson. Okay, I got that, Pastor. It says, for he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. They protect us. They protect us. Sometimes we need to know that. And Elisha's servant experienced that. Okay? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elijah here was surrounded by his enemies. But he was not moved. And he wasn't worried. Because he wasn't moved by what he saw. He was moved by who he believed in. Who was going to protect him. Who gave him security and safety. But now the servant, on the other hand, he was definitely moved by what he saw. He was afraid. Verse 14, New Living Translation. So one night the king of Aram, sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. They were going after Elisha. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir!" I think he said more than that. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" That's the young man. He's crying out to Elisha. "What are we going to do now?" He was pushing the panic button. Elisha would show him all you need to do is push the easy button. Push the easy button and trust God. Verse 16, "Don't be afraid." Elisha told him, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." The look on that servant's face, priceless. "Master, you must not be fully awake right now. You know what? Rub your eyes. Look around, would you, sir?" Verse 17, "Then Elijah prayed, 'Oh, Lord, open his eyes and let him see.' The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up," what did he do? He looked up. "He saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. At that moment, he saw the angels that were surrounding them." We have angels watching over us. God commands his angels, plural. One angel can take care of 185,000 Assyrians. So you've got more than one angel, plural, angels. What are you afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. There should be nothing you're afraid of. But we're human. I'm human. Or sometimes I get into that questioning and that little bit of fear mode. But then I got to get myself out of it. Just like David did. He had to get himself up when his whole troop wanted to come down on him. "Look what you did. You caused all this problem. They ran off with all of our goods and our wives and our children." He had to encourage himself in the Lord. And then once he did, he says, "Okay, Lord, should I go after him? Can we accomplish this, me and you?" God said, "Go get him." Told his men, "Ace, we're going to go get our stuff. You want to come with me?" Okay. They went. They got it all back. Not one of the women were lost. Not one of the children were lost. All the animals were brought back. Everything, plus more. God is awesome. Push the easy button, folks. But we got our angels watching over us. And as Amy Grant's song says, "Got his angels watching over me every move I make. Got his angels watching over me every step I take. Because your steps are ordered by the Lord." God will be with you through adversity. He gives us the wisdom and the strength we need. We need but ask. Ask for wisdom is what he tells us. Isn't that what it says in James? Ask and you will receive. He promises us he will be with us and walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. "Therefore, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David ends that song with saying, "We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. And we're shouting victory." Are we not? Yes, we are. David says, I will dwell. He did not say, "I might." He didn't say, "I guess." I will dwell. Because God gives us a promise for a future with Him to look forward to. Face the future with faith in God. Don't fear, nor worry. Most of all, don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. See, you have two choices. Two choices in life. You continue to rely on your self-efforts, or you just trust God. Trust God. He is well capable of taking care of you. Better than you can take care of yourselves, folks. As a born-again believer, you are not walking alone. The greater one is with you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is living on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Know with confidence you are never alone. Then you can face the coming days and say what David said. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is all you need. You don't need anything else. Looking at Psalm 23 there, if you know the shepherd, you don't have anything to fear. The sheep trust the shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice. You don't need to fear loneliness, for He is with you. You don't need to fear mistakes, for He guides you on the right path. If you will listen and obey Him. Why is that so hard? Don't make it hard. Make it easy. You don't need to fear failure, for He restores our soul. You don't need to fear the future, because His goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. We don't even have to fear death, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What more could you want? Let's say this together. God is always with me in green pastures, in still waters, in the valley. He is around me in the presence of my enemies. He is before me, leading me in the right paths. He is behind me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He's even beyond me, waiting for me in heaven. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That covers it all. Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Wow. And that should leave us with the confidence of knowing our future, an eternity with Him, where life will be, ready for that? Easy. Easy. Everything you need will be supplied for you there. He will take care of you in heaven. Y'all believe that, don't you? Wow, that was pretty easy. You responded well. That was faith speaking when you said that. That's faith speaking. That means you're secure. You know where you're going. And you ain't going there too early either. I'm still trying to catch Uncle Frank, and he just keeps moving on. I'm going to be as young as he is at heart. I mean, yeah, you look at him. I mean, you got, and they're, you know, I mean, look at it. There's your dad here. And we got Mr. Cooper, what? He's got a birthday tomorrow, doesn't he? Yeah, you're getting up there in the mid-80s, right? Oh, 85. Hey, Uncle Frank, I think still got you by a couple years. You guys probably played together when you were younger, right? Okay. My point is, God wants us to be around for a long time. We need to choose to be there. With long life, he will satisfy you. And he will show you his salvation. Amen, James. Amen, sis. So why do we have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the easy life, though? Enjoy it now. Go to him for direction. For direction of each and every step that you take. Hi, Tim. Make it easy on yourself. Mom, make it easy on yourself. When breaking up with the world seems so hard to do, make it easy with Jesus. It's easy with Jesus. And you can break up with the world through him. It's called a relationship with him. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 of the Amplified Classic Edition, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And Mark 11:24, Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is guaranteed to you, and you will get it. Come on up here, singers. Take out your spiritual easy button. Push it. By prayer and petition, definite request. Believing he will deliver on your request. And it's yours. And patiently wait on the Lord. And enjoy the easy life. Enjoy the easy life. That was easy. Amen?